Thank you, and good morning to you all once again. Let's pray. Let's have a word of prayer again. Holy Spirit, I come before you. I ask that may you use me as a vessel. Let your breath move through this building now and touch the hearts of everyone under my voice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. A song has been ringing in my ears. I wish we could sing it. We are not going to project. We are not going to play anything. I'm just going to sing with my raw voice. And if you know how to sing it, join me. I'll be happy. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our ways. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Thank you very much. I love your voices, your angelic voices. So today we are looking at a church that serves. The moment I was given this topic, I was like, how am I going to teach my fathers and my grandfathers how to serve God when they have been serving God long before I was born? So how am I going to do it? That's a really big task for me, very difficult one. So I said, God, so how can I navigate this? Because I really feel this is too much for me, because, yeah, I should rather be learning how to serve. But again, I look at the church and being here, serving God is evident among us all. Everyone here is serving God out of his heart. So what more could I say than to listen to us? So when you look at the message, it's in two parts. The first part, we are going to look at how we intend to serve God or are already serving God. And with that one, I'm going to listen to us. So I'll put the points on board on the screen, and then I would ask for your opinions. So everyone is going to tell me how you think. When I put a point, you're going to tell us how you think we are already doing it, because I know obviously we are doing it already, or how you think we should be doing it. So just to get your opinions. Then the second part of the message is going to be looking at how not to serve God. How not to serve God. So we look at the two parts and then we are doing it together. So the first part, I'm going to let everyone come in. And the second part, there's a particular quiz somewhere in the middle where I'll be testing our knowledge of the vision. What we know of the vision, the vision has been explained to us, it's been preached to us. We have been given cards, little cards, and so there is a lot of information that is on all that. So if you've forgotten, don't worry. I would ask a quiz. There's a quiz in the middle of the preach. So looking at our main scriptures, so I was given two main scriptures. The first one is Mark 10:45, which says, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the moment I saw this scripture, I realized that the first thing that came to mind was that Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And I realized that Jesus actually demonstrated the art of servitude by washing the feet of his disciples. And we can see that story in John chapter 13, verse 1 to 17. I'm sorry it didn't all appear. Now, this is the second part of the preach, the second scripture we have, which is each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So this again, when I look at the church, I see that when I look at people like Jan, she's using her gift to serve the church. Jan, you find her in the kitchen. She's washing up. She's welcoming people. You know, I mean, I can mention everyone here. You know, you find Jill early morning. She's sending you an email at 6 o'clock to pray. You see, everyone is contributing, especially when I look at the community Sunday mornings. I just can't miss. So, like, last week, I wasn't too good in my health, but I sneaked in to get cakes and go back home, you know, because everyone is serving. You see Marion, you know, setting up. She's going to cook for 50 people, and she's busy with it with all her energy. I just admire the way we all serve God. I come here on a Sunday morning. You see Jordan. You see Sean. They are practicing. They are rehearsing. I mean, even Mike. I love Mike because when we go for our small group meetings, he makes contributions. And I remember Lee and Darren telling me, "Oh, I really love Mike." I said, "Why?" They said, "He comes in, he sits quietly, and he makes a contribution that is spot on." And they go away thinking about it. And I'm like, wow, such a gift. Mike, upon his struggle with his health, he has not declined coming to church. He comes to church. He smiles at us. He contributes. And it's so encouraging all of us. We are all serving. And I just love it. This place is just a place for us, for people like us, the younger generation, to learn from you that you are not making your age a barrier upon your age. Look at Ian. Ian, upon all his struggles, he still goes out to serve, to care for animals. He comes to church. He shows up in the night for prayer meetings. It's just so encouraging. Serving God is just evident among us all. So I want us to look at, so as I said, it's in two parts. I'll look at first how we aim to serve or how we are already serving, and then how not to serve as a church. So first of all, so this is a discussion time. Now, if you have anything to say, just let me know. I'll bring you the mic and then we'll look at it. This is what I was given. So first of all, one of our ways that we aim to serve as a church is to meet the practical needs and offer hope. So how do you think we are already doing this as a church? Or how do you think we should be doing it? So whichever way you want to address it, just lift your hand and then I'll give you the mic. Thank you. So anyone wants to speak? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So I was just thinking about the baby group that runs here on a Monday morning. Yeah. It's a wonderful group of friendship, but it meets a very practical need for young mums that just have babies, maybe isolated if they work and not used to being at home. And it forms a friendship group and a support network and a place to get advice from older mums or grandmas and things. So I think that meets a real practical need in our village, as an example.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very true. Very true. So this is something we are already doing as a church. And like yesterday I was thinking, I think we had this conversation. Louise mentioned that what will happen to the village if the church was to shut? Could you think about it just for a week or just a month? The church has shut. How do you think it will hit the village? Looking at all that is happening within a week. So you might not see what we are doing until probably the church was not there. Then you say, okay, the impact. So yes, does anybody have any more thing to say about how we are meeting practical needs?
Post office,
yes.
You can see that people are coming in and out of this building,
yeah,
and they are using it for the post office. You see Barry sitting down there,
yeah,
with the men, chatting with them, having coffee.
Yeah.
So in a way,
yeah,
we are serving the community,
yes,
as a church.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. I think it's so evident. It's clear. that the church is really serving God. The second one is to provide a safe space for all. Yes, this is also another clear one. Who else wants to contribute to this one?
Well, you've got the Monday morning Terry and Nolan's.
Obvious one is Terry and Nolan's coffee.
Yeah.
Shop coffee morning.
Yes, true.
Where so many people now meet. Okay, they may be more mature in age. And if I turn up occasionally, I'm obviously the youngest. No, it's such a lovely atmosphere.
It is.
Where these people come in and they sit and they're just nattering and chattering and catching up. But there is also a presence there as well. It's that gift of hospitality that is shining through. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much. Who else wants to share?
Lunch club,
yes.
You can see so many people from the village
coming
for the lunch club.
Yes.
They interact with church members and non-church members.
Yeah.
So every month they are looking forward to this lunch club.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, even myself, I look forward to it. Exactly. Anything food, count me in.
A safe place where young people can have fun, but often there's other issues that come up.
True.
That we chat with them about, and it's a safe place where they can be themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's another example.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes. The youth groups, they ask a lot of dangerous questions. I sometimes struggle with it, but it's like the last Connect class we had. One of the kids asked me, "So beyond space and all the galaxies and everything, what is there? What could be there?" I'm like, oh God, how do I answer? I've never been there. How do I answer this question? Now let's look at the last part of this first part of the message, which is to build bridges between the church and the community. And again, I think we've touched on some of these, but if anyone wants to comment on this as well, you are welcome to do so.
Yes. Used to be called mothers and toddlers.
Yeah.
Well, our house was modelers and toddlers. But now it's obviously open to others and mothers as well. But that is such, again, such a vibrant group that's been going on for so long in this church, probably from the beginning of this church building being here and before then. Mm. But again, it's an active, vibrant place where the mums and carers and dads and whoever it is that are coming in with their toddlers, not the newborns, but the toddlers, can just be safe and be comfortable. And Jana is here and Anne is here.
Yeah.
And they're here and they're just talking to the parents, the carers.
Yeah.
And just expressing that love again, the hospitality.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous place.
Yes. And also not to forget, one thing I would not forget to mention is the Tuesday open the book. It's one of the core bridge between the community and the church, because it's one of the main contact points of that generation to what is happening in the church or in the Bible. So I think it's something that we shouldn't forget about. And again, everyone here, I reckon that everyone here is doing something. Everyone here is doing something. Your smile is an encouragement. Your showing up alone is an encouragement. Serving somebody a cup of coffee is an encouragement. Jesus says that blessed is anyone who gives these little ones a cup for my sake. So I know that you are doing this because of Jesus. If not because of Jesus, you'll be home or you go elsewhere and do your own thing. So if you're coming, if you're showing up, if you're giving a smile to somebody and just say hello to somebody, how are you doing? You know, all that is part of the art of service. And I want to thank us all for already doing it and just want to encourage that we should keep on serving how we are serving and do it to the best of our ability. Now, there is a challenge that I would like us to look at, and this is the quiz I was talking about. How many of us are familiar with this diagram? Have you seen this before anywhere? Have we all seen it anywhere before? Or we've forgotten what it is? Now, this is our vision, which was made into a diagram, to seek, to serve, and to share the love of Christ. I've made the serve a bit bigger because that is what we are doing today. Now, what is in the middle of it? Something is missing. Who knows what is missing? All deacons are excluded because... So what could be in the middle? What is missing from the middle? I just want someone else, aside a deacon, to tell us what is supposed to be in the middle.
Christ.
Christ! Excellent! Yes, that is spot on. There is something more we need to add to it. What about Christ? The love of Christ. God bless you. So, all I wanted to make a comment is that it is true that we are serving God, how we are serving Him. If we did all that we are doing and we did not fuel it with love, it is empty before God. First Corinthians 13. If you read that passage, which I know all of us are familiar with, if you come to coffee shop, you talk to people, you bless people, you smile to people, you cook food, everyone come and eat. You give us cakes, which I will eat every time. You even pray for people. The Bible says that even if you speak in tongues, even if you prophesy, even if you pray and people get healed, if there is no love, it's empty. God doesn't regard it. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you like, the Bible says, even if you kill yourself, even if you avail yourself to be killed for the sake of another, and there is no love in your heart, you've missed it. It's better you did not do it at all. So the love of Christ is very important. So I see that we are serving, but the thing is, I cannot know what is happening in our hearts. I can't know. So the only thing that I can point to us is that what is happening in your heart? What is the intent? Why are you doing what you are doing? Are you doing it for, because people say, oh, he's, the person is like, people would comment about it. He's good, he's that. Yeah, I'm not saying people shouldn't commend you or people shouldn't talk good of you. If they do, it's fine. But is it your motivation or is the love of Christ your motivation? I'll leave it there for us to sink it in. Then we'll move to the next part. So the next part, I was looking at the scripture that we're given in Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. But before the verse 10, there was a scripture there at the verse 9. Just before the verse 10, it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now that word, I was trying to interpret it to myself in Hanga because the first language I learned was Hanga. And it seems to me that we don't have a word in Hanga for grumbling. No. Yeah, we have a word like gossip, but grumbling, exactly the word grumbling, we don't have it. I've tried looking at it because I really want to understand it in my own language, but it's difficult. So I want to ask us, who can explain to me in English with other words what it means grumbling? I want someone to help me because I really want to get it, but I was too lazy to go into the dictionary. So I want somebody to explain it to me practically. Thank you.
To voice one's displeasure and disagreement with what's happening.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, lots.
So the thing with this is that, is the Bible trying to tell us that if we have a displeasure concerning something, we shouldn't voice it out? Then that would be toxic for us, wouldn't it? So what is the Bible trying to say, grumbling? Because definitely, yes.
I was going to have a go.
Yeah.
So I was going to say something about kind of like secretly behind the sort of like under level, kind of under, just kind of that mumbling, rumbling, undermining, sort of gossipy type of,
okay,
that kind of thing I'm going for grumbling.
Yeah. Yeah, the word, yeah, your description, I like it. But how do I say it in hunger then? Because I need a word to describe it in hunger. Yes. Thank you.
Just one word. Morning. Yep.
Morning. Thank you.
Complaining.
Thank you. I like what John said. That morning. Thank you, John.
If you have the Mr. Men books, there's a Mr. Rumble, I think, it was read really well. That's
oh,
what it is.
Okay.
Mr. Rumble.
Mr. Rumble. Okay, I need to find it. Thank you, everyone, for your contribution. So, sometimes, oftentimes, when I see words like this in English, I try to go into their Greek and just explore what it mean, what they were, the writer was trying to mean in their context, just to get a bit of more light. And I think Louise touched on it, which is very good. Now let's look at what grumbling is. So we'll be looking at what it is. Yeah. Okay. Yes, so in the Greek, the word is gongozo. Gongozo. So, and when you look at Thea gave some definitions about it. He says that it means to murmur. To mutter or to grumble again. He mentions the same word. That's not what I'm looking for. Now, Thea also says that it also means to say against in a low tone. So it means what is happening, you don't like it, but you are saying it in a low tone, just like what? Yes, under. So, why should we not do it? Again, he says something that those who confer secretly together, so it could be not just under only your tone, but it could be with another. You know? I'm acting it out now. And he said those who discontentedly complain. Yes, so this is what, in the Greek, when they mentioned that word, they were trying to mean. So even though in English we have it just one word, grumbling, it carried more expansive meaning in the original context. So that's why I decided to take time to show us how it appears in there. So there are repercussions of that thing to the person grumbling. So you, the one grumbling, or if I grumble, it makes me forget all the good things that are happening, and I only see the negative at that moment. So the more I do it, the more it builds up energy in my heart. So instead of letting it out, I am holding it, saying it undertone, so it's still within, like I'm still protecting the energy. And so it builds up. It makes my heart discontent. It poisons my heart. It blinds us to what God is doing. And when you look at, it's not, I think that attitude is human. It's almost everyone, even me speaking, we all do it. I don't know of you, but me, I know I do it sometimes. So I feel it's human because when I look into the Bible, I see that in the Old Testament, the Israelites used to do it a lot. They used to complain a lot. Even though God gave them provision, God made provision, they still said, no, the meat, we want meat instead of, you know. So they kept mourning. And so the more we do it, it clouds our vision. It clouds our mind to what God is doing. And also, it damages our relationship with God. And I read some part of it when Aaron and Moses, when the people of Israel were grumbling, he said, you are not grumbling against us, you are grumbling against God. So even though you are complaining about somebody, you are actually doing it against God. Now, to the person being grumbled about, if the person should find out, what does it do to the person? It hurts relationships. I trusted you. You grumbled about me. I found out. Problem. It creates mistrust and discouragement. So yes, we are serving God, but what do we need to do? He said, and actually Peter, wrote about the grumbling before he even said we should serve. So that was a verse before the serving. We need to check that in our course in serving, because if I'm serving and I'm grumbling, it's like you are short-circuiting what you are doing. I don't know, you are an engineer, so you can help. Engineer, when I connect the negative and the positive terminals of a battery, what will happen? It will spark. They would knock heads and fire. So the next one, what does it do to the church? It can divide a congregation. Division can cause others to stumble and deny their faith. You have a new person who has come to the church. Oh, I love the way the church is serving me. Starts church. And the next moment, the person finds out he's being grumbled about. Say, no, I don't want to be with them. I better go back to the world. Sometimes not even grumbling about the person, grumbling about another person, and the person hears it and says, so they are also like that. I don't want to be with them. So it's dangerous. How not to serve. The single act of grumbling can negate all the points we are trying to achieve as a church in our desire to serve God and others. It can cancel it all out. It's like you've built a structure and broke it down again by that little thing, grumbling. Now, what should we do? Does it mean we shouldn't express our discontentment? We shouldn't complain? Because if it means that way, then it means we are going to bottle it up, get toxic, and get destroyed. So what should we do? Who has an idea? Who can contribute here? Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So instead of that underground muttering, we should look, if there is an issue, we should look at bringing it into the light and dealing with it in a loving way.
Thank you. Thank you.
And also, you take it to Christ.
You take it to Christ. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I like the take you to Christ part, because sometimes people like me, I don't have the patience. If I take it to Christ and I'm not hearing anything, then I'll get more angry. So yes, I'm not doubting it, taking it to Christ. I agree with that. But all I'm trying to say is that, yes, how? If I pray, God, I don't like what this person is doing, and the next moment, the person does it again, what will I do? Yes, please. Thank you.
I just wanted to add that something around we need to be good or practice listening to one another with open hearts, not jumping in immediately, but actually giving space when we're, particularly when we gather together, like at our church meetings and things, so that we can hear each other well. Mm.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. You said something?
Find the truth.
Find the truth, yes. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, should we discipline our children? We do it with love.
Yes.
Whatever we do,
do it with
love should be at the centre.
Thank you. Like our diagram.
Yes.
Which some people forgot.
One of the things you should never forget is that when you put yourself in a position of service, that you want to serve people, that is the problem. You're serving people, and you cannot and will never ever please everybody at the same time. There will always be somebody who will let you down, let themselves down, let the congregation down. There will be problems. They are the problems we've got to face, and they're the problems we've got to overcome. As long as you continue to serve in love and you accept that there will be problems.
Or they're always late, they never turn up on time, they're always telling me about this.
Yeah, that's the grumbling that goes on, but accept it. Accept it. Accept the fact there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. Just continue to serve the way you want to serve, as long as that service is done in the love of Christ.
Yep, thank you. Thank you.
Realistic.
Yep, yep. Yes, it's very well that we understand, like, let's say we in the church, we have that, we are mature in heart, we understand that always part of it. But how about the weak person or the new person that is coming in who has no clue and gets hit by it and says, no, I'm not going to do this anymore? Did you get what I'm trying to say? So it's, we may understand as a church that, oh, I mean, if it happens, it's fine, let it go. But how about those from the outside? So, did you want to say something? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So I looked into the Bible and I saw that Jesus has touched on it a bit. He says that if you have an issue with a brother, approach the person in private. Complain, bring it out personally. And if the issue is not resolved, he said, take it to the deacons or the elders. And if it's still not being resolved, you can now bring it before the entire church. So before it comes out public, you should have made attempt private. Somebody did something, he didn't like it. Don't keep it under. Approach the person in love, like you all said. Yeah, in love. And then try to resolve it. If it doesn't work, you take it to the deacons, the elders. If it still doesn't work, to the church. Love in action. Love in action. That is love. So at the center of it all is the love of Christ. So all I can say today is that we are serving in the love of Christ without grumbling. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a word of prayer, quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for reaching out to us this morning. Give us the spirit of love so that we serve you with this spirit. That whatever we will do it because of love. And we will continue to love each other and everyone that comes into contact with us until you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.